Lord, we just thank you for this love that we couldn't earn, that God, we couldn't do anything to get it, but God, you gave it willingly. Thank you for that last breath that you took on the cross. Thank you for the nails that were in your hand. Thank you for the splinters that you got up and down your back from trying to just take the next breath. Thank you for your love. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the gift that you've given us, your love, and also the word that's going to be brought forth today. Let it not be my words, but God, let it be your words, because my words can't do nothing, but your words can change everything. And we love you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Church, help me say amen.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, worship team. You rock. They rock, right? They rock, yeah. I'm so excited about this morning. I'm excited about this word that God has given me. And so many times we can get distracted from the word of God. But I'm excited about what God has in store for us. Are you excited about what God has in store for all of us in this place? Amen. So if this is your first time here, then you probably don't know who I am. My name is Lizzie Jensen. I get the awesome honor and privilege to pastor alongside my husband, Sean Jensen. So he wasn't here in the first experience because he was out preaching at a youth camp from Friday until he wrapped it up this morning, and he surprised me because I didn't know he was coming. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in like forever. So I'm super excited he's here. I'm excited to hear about all the pranks you had to go through. I know one, he's like, they're trying to shave my head. And I was like, they have to deal with me if they do. No, I'm just kidding. But for real, I would have probably been upset, but it is what it is. So I just love your hair. It just, you look so good, you know. Can we give it up for our pastor? I love you. I honor you. You're awesome. And I'm excited about what God has for us this morning, because what we're talking about is perspective. And learning how God sees things versus the way we see things. And our first scripture is John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So God has came so that we could have a full life free from the work of the enemy, which is anything that is stealing, killing, or destroying in our life. And so God wants us to live in freedom. And so many times the way we see things are just so different. For example, as I was just talking about my husband, we see things completely different at times because, amen. And most of you, if you know us personally, you know that we are actually completely opposite. It causes a lot of arguments that we're definitely working on, like every married couple, right? Can I get an amen? Amen. And so one of the things that we see differently on a happy note is roller coasters. He loves roller coasters. He loves the thrill of the ride. He loves the big old drop that makes your stomach feel like it's like in the heavens somewhere. And when that stomach drop happens, I'm like, you can count me out. I don't want to pee my pants today. I did not bring a change of clothes with me. So please no. And he like tries to get me on. I'm like, why are you going to torture me with the stomach drop? Like, I'm all about roller coasters that you give me a loop, that's fine. You give me some fast, that's cool. You give me some jerks, that's good. When it comes to dropping the stomach, I'm out of the game. And that's just how we see differently. Maybe wakeboarding. Sean loves to wakeboard because he can actually wakeboard. He can even do like the one-hander and, you know, the twisties and the jumps and stuff, and he sees it as fun. He sees it as awesome. And when I see wakeboarding, I see water, because I continually face plant in the water because I can't get up on the wakeboard. People tell me I can do it, and I just told them, please don't waste your time. I really can't. So I have already officially realized that me and Sean see differently. We have a different perspective on wakeboarding. We have different perspective on roller coasters. And some parents, as you know, we have different perspectives of how we raise our kids. Yes, we do. My way is basically the best, but just kidding. I have the mic. No, but really, we just have different perspectives, and that is how we are with God. So many times when we see things, God sees it completely different. You know, as humans, because we're all humans, God made us human beings, we see things the way we see physically. We like, I can see someone in front of me, I can see things, I can know what I'm going through when I'm facing a storm in my life. I can see the storms in my life, I can feel the storms in my life, but God sees things differently, because there's two types of realms. There's a physical realm, which is what we see right here in front of us, and then there's a spiritual realm. You know, just like we know that God operates in both, but we operate in our salvation by faith, which is part of the spiritual realm. You know, like when God says, hey, when you accept me into my life, you decide to follow me, you are now born again. And in the Bible, this dude that Jesus was talking to, his name is Nicodemus, he's like, what do you mean born again? Like, I'm like a grown man, and my mom, she's grown, if you know, I'm like, how am I supposed to be born again? And God's like, or Jesus is like, it's not physically, but spiritually you're born again. So we walk in two realms. We walk in the physical, but we operate in the spiritual. And so many times our eyes tend to see what we see in the physical, but how many of us know the Bible says to walk by faith and not by, that's right. And so many times we're asking God, show me the way I want to see it. And God's saying, no, I'm calling you up to see it the way I see it. It's time that we get our perspective in line with God's perspective. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, that if God wants us to live this life of freedom, sometimes it looks differently than how you and I would regularly see it. And we want to learn how Jesus sees his perspective on freedom. And we're going to learn the truth about that. In John 8, it actually says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So we're going to learn about the truth, because God wants us free in this place. I'm excited, so excited about this message. It's so freeing. And I want you to know that the enemy has not want me to preach this message. I mean, to the point to where I got like super sick. Sean doesn't even know this. I got super sick like the last couple days. And I have had to pray and take authority over the sickness in my body, because it ain't about to stop me from preaching the freeing truth, word of God in this place. And I just have to tell a quick story, because I think it's crazy. The devil is scared, because I was back here in this back room, and they were practicing this morning. And as soon as I literally opened my mouth to pray against the distractions of the enemy today, like Matt said, that this is God's house. We're not going to allow the devil to do what he wants to do in our and God's house. Amen? And so as soon as I literally opened my mouth to pray that, the tracks literally stopped working, and people were like, what's happening? What's going on? And they're like, oh, the tracks stopped working. I'm like, devil, you just scared. You are scared, because when we preach the truth of the word of God, that's when we know that the devil can't rule over us, because God is here, and where God's house is, he ain't got no place to be there. And so I'm excited about this message, because it's freeing, and it's the truth, and it's going to set us free this morning. You might have walked in one way, but I declare you're going to walk out changed. I don't care who you are or where you're at in your life. God's word is going to do something in you today. Ephesians 1, 16 through 17, this is where we're going to start. It says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So this is Paul praying over the church of Ephesus, which are the believers of Christ, which we can stand into that prayer. That he's saying, I pray that you have spiritual wisdom and insight. If you research the word insight, it breaks it down to perception, which is vision. And vision is our perception, like our perspective. And so Paul's literally saying, I pray that you have spiritual wisdom and a spiritual perspective spiritually to see how God sees it, to know God more. And we're going to continue in this. So he wants us to have spiritual wisdom, a spiritual perspective. And then he goes on in Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. It's going to get good, guys. And it says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you will know and cherish the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, which is us, God's people, and so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So he's saying it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Hallelujah. And when he seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and far above every name that is named, not only in this age and world, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in every realm, spiritual and physical, in subjection under Christ's feet, and appointed him as supreme and authoritative head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. That Paul is saying, hey now, I want you to know that you have a power that is immeasurable, surpassing greatness power, the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, living in you. Yeah. And so many of us might have heard that, but many times us believers are walking around not even knowing that the same power that conquered death, hell, and the grave lives in you and me. That is some type of power, I tell you. And so we're going to go to our first point, which is know. Because Paul says he's praying over us that we will begin to know this power that's in us. And so in the next thing that we're going to talk about is in the Bible, it compares the power and authority. It just keeps going back and forth between power and authority. So we're going to learn and we're going to dig a little deeper into this power that we have been given because of Jesus Christ. You know, when we ask Jesus into our heart, when we decide to follow him, he says that he's the gateway into our salvation. He's the gateway into us going and to be in the kingdom of God. And so it's time that as we step through that gate, that we start learning how to think kingdom-minded, to act kingdom-minded, to walk kingdom-minded, and to know that we have the power of the kingdom living on the inside of us. And that's life-changing. So we're going to go through a couple scriptures that are going to say basically the same thing, because I want you to see and realize that power that God has given us through his son Jesus. So in Luke 9:1, it says, Jesus gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. Okay, that sounds good. Luke 10:19, it says, I have given you authority over all. Can you guys say all? All power of the enemy. Can I get an amen? I was getting good. I've given you all authority over all the power of the enemy, that you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. I will say, disclaimer, we are not bringing out snakes or scorpions, so don't get all freaked out on me. But it's kind of cool, though, that we have authority over these things, because it's basically symbolic to the power of the enemy, things that come to attack you and steal and kill and destroy, like we read in John 10:10. We have power over that. In Matthew 10:1, it says, Jesus gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. And it goes on in verse 8, he's telling his disciples, okay, now that you've got it in you, now go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons, give freely as it has been given to you. And he's saying that because he's like, okay, now that I've given it to you, now it's time for you to walk it out. Now it's time for you to use it. So if he's saying that, you might be thinking, okay, well, I got this power and authority, but I definitely don't feel, you know, like muscular and powerful and all this. And you might be thinking that. But authority and power is a delegated power. You know, if you think about, like, if you're driving down the road and you're just chugging along in your car, chugging makes me think you're in a tractor. So if you're in a tractor, that's cool too, but if you're in a car and you're driving down the road and then you see that you're stopped, like everyone's starting to stop, and you look ahead and you see that there's a cop up there and he's putting up his hand and then he's waving on the other traffic and then he turns, puts up his hand to them and he starts waving you on and you realize that that cop doesn't have the physical power to literally like hold and stop the cars back. But what he does have is he has authority that we recognize because he has the authority that's backing him up, which is the name of all names, the King of Kings. And it says in Ephesians that he's far above all rule, far above all authority, far above every power and dominion. So it doesn't matter who you might think you are, but it's who you are and who and what is inside of you. So when the devil comes up to you and you put your hand up, he has no choice but to tremble in fear because you're backed by the authority of Jesus Christ, the one that conquered him, that defeated him. And he's got no choice but to obey what we say with the authority of Jesus Christ in us. And so now that we know what is in us, it's time that we start to learn how to use it. And I'm going to call the worship team up here, and this is our point two, and we're not done, okay? They're just going to come up and get me some mood music. It's just how I flow. So thank you, worship team. And so the first point, we know that Paul says, I pray that you begin to know of this power that's in you. And then later it says that these, the same power that is in accordance with the working of God's mighty strength while raising him from the dead. So now we see he wants us to know, but now it's time to work. And that's our second point, is work. It's time to start learning how to work this power. Because if God's put something in us, that means he's put it in us so it can come out of us. And so if we have this authority and this power over the enemy, over everything that tries to steal, kill, and destroy in our life, then now we know that we have to learn how to get it out. How do we operate in this? How do we use this? How do we do this? And one way that we can use it is with our words. And this is what I mean. In Romans 10:10, it says that we are saved by believing in our heart that we are saved and confessing it with our mouth. And so he's saying that if using our words is such a powerful moment of salvation, it's going to be used just as greatly as we walk out our salvation. And so many of us don't understand the power of our words. And so what we're going to think about is in Proverbs 18, it says this, Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So this little thing right there between your lips, this little thing holds the power of death and the power of life. So we can speak life or we can speak death. Yeah. And I'm going to just quote some more scriptures they may not have, but in James 3, it actually compares our tongue to like the rudder of a big ship. That even though the ship is mighty and big and vast in size, this little rudder on it directs the course of the ship. In Mark 11, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, hey guys, do you see this mountain right here? And physically they could see the mountain. And he's saying, if you have faith and you speak to this mountain and tell it to move and be cast out into the sea, it will be done. So we're realizing that we had to speak. And I want to ask you a question. What are you speaking? What are you speaking in your life? Are you speaking the opposite of the power and the authority that you have? Are you speaking negatively? Are you always talking about how your day is just going so bad, nothing could go worse? Whoop, I guess it could. My life stinks. My job, I can't stand my job. I can't stand the people in my jobs. You know that girl, she cannot stop talking. She cannot stop running her mouth. And then you start gossiping and you start talking about other people. Maybe you're just so negative and you're so pessimistic and you're just always focused on the criticism, the critical things. You're always just so critical. What are some other things that you might be saying? I'm just so fearful. I'm just so tired. I'm so anxious. I am literally so stressed out of my mind right now. My hair's falling out. You know, you're talking about all of this stuff. You might be saying that I'm just so depressed. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so tired. I'm so sick. I'm in so much pain. Every day I wake up, I'm in so much pain. What's that little rudder of your ship? Where is it directing you? Where is your life heading? It's all in the power of our words. And it's about time that we start combining the power of our words with the power of God's word. And this is what I mean. In Matthew 4, this is when Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the enemy comes and he tempts him. How many of you know when we're at our weakest, that's when the enemy tries to attack? And he does. And he tries to get us when we're at our weakest. Let me show you what Jesus says to him. So he's like, hey man, if you're hungry, you should turn these stones into bread. You know, trying to tempt him. And Jesus told him, which means he spoke. He used his words and he says, no, the scriptures say, people don't live by bread alone. So he's saying, no, the scripture says, and it says in the word of God that the word is a double-edged sword, and a sword is used as an offensive weapon. So how we use our power and how we use our authority over the enemy is by using the word of God as an offensive weapon. He says, no, the scripture says this. So if you are sick in this place, no, because the word of God says, I am healed. I don't know what you're facing today, but it's time to get out your swords and stop just letting it hang by your side. Because when you just let the sword hang and you're not using it, if you are keeping this on your mantle or your nightstand and it's just getting dust all over it, that is not how it's supposed to be used. This is supposed to be used as an offensive weapon. So it's time to pick up the sword. It's time to start wielding it at the enemy, because he does not have authority in your life. He does not have authority over your kids. He does not have authority over your families. We have it because Jesus died for it. I'm so tired of seeing all of us, not saying just you or me, but sometimes I'm so tired of seeing what Jesus died for sometimes go in vain because we're too lazy to pick it up. Jesus died so that we could be free, and so many of us are walking around broken, depressed, and so in pain, and God is saying, come on, pick up that sword. Pick up what I died for. I died for your freedom. I died for your healing. I died so that you don't have to live in depression. I died so that you don't have to live in fear. It's time that we start seeing how God sees, so that we can start speaking how God speaks over us. It was about 6 months ago when this really started to hit my heart, this message, because there was a season in our life where I literally probably texted Sue like every day, because if I wasn't sick, then Charlie was sick or Avery was sick. And then right as soon as one would get better, then someone else would get sick. And it was just like a vicious cycle. And I'm telling you, I have never sanitized and cleaned so much in my life. And I literally just kept saying, we're just sick all the time. As soon as one of us gets better, then another one gets sick. I'm tired of this sickness. We're just so sick. And I'm so tired because I don't have enough strength to take care of myself, take care of the whole house. I don't have time to clean the house. And I just started being all negative. And I felt God tell me this. He said, there's a difference between accepting and acknowledging. So many of us, when we begin to start speaking the negativity and start speaking that we're in pain and we're so sick, that's because we started accepting the fact that we're sick. We started accepting it as a fact. But how many of us know that faith trumps fact? And we need to start seeing how God sees. I love what Smith Wigglesworth says. He's like, I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel, but I am moved by what I believe. And I believe in the word of God. So when a mountain is in your way, you might see it as a mountain, but God says, oh, I see it moved. You might see a job failure, and God says, oh, I just have another job opportunity for you that maybe you can get home at night and spend time with your family, which is more important. Maybe you might see sickness, and God says, oh, I see it as healed. You might see it as money problems, and God's saying, oh, I see it. I'm the supplier. I got you. It's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. Because in 1 John 4:4, It says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And in Romans 8:37, it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I don't know what you are in the ring fighting today, but all I do know is Jesus was in there first. He won, gave us his earnings, and now it's time to walk out our title as conquerors, more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who loved us. I don't know what we're fighting today, but I know that he's already won. It says that, hey, there's going to be things that happen in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So that means you have overcome the world. I don't know what you're facing today, but it says in Ephesians, like we read, Ephesians 1, verse 21, that he is far above every rule, above all authority, above every power and dominion, above every name that is named. In the physical and in the spiritual. So I'm here to tell you, whatever you're facing, don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by how you feel, but be moved by what you believe, which is the word of God. It's time that we start combining the power of our words with the power of God's word, and something supernatural happens. So when you came in today, you noticed that there's this piece of paper on the seat in front of you. You can pick it up. Or maybe it's underneath your chair or on your chair when you came in. And I don't want you to leave without having the sword with you. So these are just a little bit of things that we printed off so that you could have it over your life. It's time to open up our mouths and use the word of God over the enemy, because he has no choice but to listen to the authority of God, because he's over him. He already won. He already defeated him. So if you're stuck in your past of maybe something that you've done and you feel like God's grace isn't big enough, he says, hey, I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed, and behold, all things are new. So when the devil tries to come in and knock at your door with the guilt and condemnation of who you once were, you can tell him, yeah, that's who I once was. But when Jesus died on the cross and I have now accepted him as my Lord and Savior, I am a new creature. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And then when you mess up, because you know we all mess up, we all sin, we all fall short, and you see yourself in the sin, and you're like, God, I want to get out. God's like, hey, you might be seeing yourself as a sinner, but I see you, that you are dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. And so when you feel that way over your life, you got to start combating the lies of the enemy with the word of God, which is the truth. The only way to outweigh a lie is when you present it with the truth. And that's exactly what we're doing. The enemy tries to attack your mind with all the lies. And I'm here to tell you, we got to attack back with the truth of God's word. And you might be feeling that everything's coming at you. And it says, no weapon that is formed against me will succeed. It says also, I forgot to tell you, that when we were going through that battle of sickness in our home, I felt when God told me that there was a difference between acknowledging and accepting, we can accept it. When we start accepting it is when we start, you know, just thinking constantly and speaking about it. But God's saying it's good to acknowledge that it's there so that you know how to fight it. It's good because when we acknowledge something's coming at us, we know how to defend ourselves against it. And when sickness came in my home, it says in Psalms 91 that no plague, which is sickness or disease, can come near my home. So devil, I put my hand up and I tell you, with the authority that's in me through Jesus Christ, you have to get out of my house, get off my kids, get out of my life, get out of my body. Sickness, you cannot stay and you will not stay. Now, to some of you, it might seem weird. You're like, I'm going to be talking to the devil? What? This chick's crazy. I'd rather look crazy than be in bondage. I'm here to tell you today that it's time to take that sword out, and it's time to start speaking the word of God over your life. It says to take every thought captive unto the obedience of God's word, which is Jesus Christ. And it says, I catch the enemy in all of his deceitful lies. I throw them down and choose to believe God's word. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Therefore, I will let God transform me by the way I think. I have the mind of Christ and imitate him in all I do. So do you see how difference this can make? It's so freeing in your life when you start fighting against the enemy with the power and the authority that we have. it says this in the Bible, that God's word, that the grass may wither, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. When we speak the word, it stands forever. It's so much power. There's so much strength in the power and the word of Jesus Christ. It's time to start using it. There's so much power. So I don't know what you're facing, but let's just stand up together. And you can close your eyes at this moment. And I want you to think about the thing that you're struggling with in your life. Maybe it's something that you feel like the enemy is getting you down and you feel like you can't get back up. I want you to think about that one thing. Maybe it's five. I don't know. And when you got it in your mind, I challenge you when you leave today to write it down somewhere. And to go on Google or some search engine and type it in, whatever that thing is that you're thinking about. And say, verses that deal with blank. And it's going to pull up verses, and you can literally write down one verse or all the verses, I don't know, and just start confessing them over your life, speaking them over your life. I don't know what it is you're struggling with, but God is the solution to our problems in life. There's someone in here that is so broken right now. I'm just about to get real in here. But I felt like God said, you even tried to take your life last night. This is deep. And he says that you're here and you're not here on accident. But this is the God of all creation, of things that we can't even see, and he's willing to say to you today that he's with you. He's here in this moment. Don't let go of your hope. There's someone in here that has dealt with huge anxiety or depression, that they're on medication, that they sometimes get to the point where they can't breathe, that they've even had to call the ambulance before because they couldn't take their next breath because their anxiety levels were so high that sometimes they didn't even go outside because they were so anxious. And I'm here to tell you today, but the power of Jesus Christ, that chain has to break off of your life right now in the name of Jesus, because Jesus died for it, and it says that every name will bow to the name of Jesus. So anxiety, you are a name, and I command you to bow right now to the name of Jesus. Depression, you have to bow at the name of Jesus. Suicidal thoughts, I command you to bow at the name of Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you are doing something big in here today. And it says where two or three are in your midst, that you are with us. So God, you are here, and where you are, there is freedom. Where you are, chains have to break. Bondages have to go. Walls get kicked down. Lives get tore down because of the greatness of who you are, that you are above every name, that you are above every authority. You are above every single thing in this world of what we see and even the things that we don't see. And Lord, I pray that the things that we have all thought about that we're struggling with, I pray that we start pulling out the sword, which is your word. Word, God, and that we start going to work with the power and the authority that you've given us over our lives, that the devil will not have authority over us. He will not have power over us because you have given it to us. And we thank you, Jesus, for every single person in this place. I just thank you for breakthrough. I thank you, God, that they're leaving change, that they feel it coming off of their lives. The yuck, just the depression, that God, just the fear, it has to leave because you gave us a power and authority. You haven't given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So God, I just thank you for your word, the power that it holds, that we start seeing things the way you see it, that we have your perspective, that we start speaking over things the way you speak over things. Because Lord, when we see a mountain, you see it as moved. And God, we're going to stand in your perspective today. now with eyes still being closed, that there's people in this place that don't know Jesus. And they want, you want this power and authority. You want this Jesus that saves and frees you. But you can only have this power and this authority through the name of Jesus Christ. We talked about how reckless his love is for you, that he took that last breath with you on his mind. He chose you before you even chose him back. That's reckless love, that he loves you so much that he bled for you. He stood in your place so that you could stand before God righteous and in right standing with him. That when God looks at you, he sees you as his loved daughter or son when we accept Jesus into our heart. So if that is you today and you know it without a shadow of a doubt that that's you who wants to accept God and Jesus into their heart, I want you to say this with me in church. Church, let's say it together with our brothers and sisters. Say, Jesus, I see you. I see how you died. And it was for me that you chose me before I even chose you back. I see that I'm a sinner. But now I choose you. I choose you. Old has to go. And behold, the new has come. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Yes, God is in this place. People just accepted Jesus. And here it says in the Bible that when one person, just one, enters into the kingdom of heaven, that all heaven rejoices, all angels rejoice. And here we want to celebrate with all of you. So what we ask is on the count of three, we ask all of you who accepted Jesus into their heart to raise their hand. Why? Because we want to celebrate with you and we want to get something in your hands to do the journey with you. We don't want you to do it alone. So on the count of three, one, Jesus loves you. Two, you just made the best decision of your life. And three, who accepted you? Amen. Come on, you guys celebrate. Come on. There's someone up here. There's someone over here. Come on, angels are celebrating. Heaven is celebrating. Woo! Amen. Come on, church. Now on those yellow packs of things that you just got, there's a card. We ask you to fill it out and take it to the hub because we want to get you connected and get something in your hands. So come on, church, as we continue to stand, let's sing this one more time with all we got and let's celebrate with heaven. Come on.